It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign. And Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEF, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEF Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., station management, the board of directors, or the WEF associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumpston. On this New Year's Eve, I'm going to treat you to an archival WEF interview from May 15th, 2024. A fellow community radio air shifter, Cindy Anna Jones, was visiting Champaign and graciously agreed to be interviewed for Catch the Beat. Her home station is K-Mud out of Garberville, California. Notably, she is also an air shifter at the community radio station that exists only for the few days each summer at the Burning Man event in Nevada. This will bring some warmth to a January night in Champaign. Enjoy her story. I am very pleased to welcome to Catch the Beat a fellow air shifter at a sister community radio station in California, Cindy Martin.
Cindy Anna Jones.
Cindy Anna Jones. Boy, I need a zippier tag. Good for you. How did you come up with that?
I had been doing radio for a while, and I wanted a DJ name, but I kept trying on different ones, and they didn't fit. And I heard it on a TV show I was watching with my granddaughter. And it's the minute I heard it, I just went, that's it.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, I don't think I'll call you Cindy Anna on air, although I like it.
You can.
Has a very interesting radio profile. K-Mud, a community station out of...
It's out of Garberville is our real address. Garberville is between Eureka and Ukiah, and all of that is above San Francisco a few hours.
You do music.
I do music. I do interviews sometimes. My most recent, I've been interviewing this woman from Ukraine that I interview a few times.
Uh-huh.
And it's been really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's about what I do. I've done a number of public affairs shows on WEFT, and currently I do women's music.
Yeah.
The side gig that you have is just once a year. We all know about Burning Man. Okay, give us a thumbnail of what Burning Man is.
If you've never heard of Burning Man is an event that takes place. It's not a festival in that there's no vending of any kind. There's nothing for sale and you can't sell anything. But it's an event that takes place out in the Nevada high desert and there is nothing there whatsoever. And then there is a city of 80,000 people for about 10 days. There's some people that are there before getting it set and people that are there after to clean it. But it's about a 10-day event and people come from all over the world to express their creative side. It's really mostly about art, and it gets a lot of publicity for all kinds of sensational things that create headlines, but its actual real purpose is community and art, and it's the most amazing thing.
Yeah. How many years has that been going on?
Well, it's been going on, I think, since 1998, so it might be a little bit earlier, but it's approaching 30 years. I've been going, this will be my 16th year.
And you are an air shifter.
I am.
Or programmer on the pop-up radio station, that is probably not the proper term for it, that runs only for the length of the festival.
Right, it runs for about 10 days. It runs for a couple of days before and a couple of days after, and the event itself is technically lasts 1 week, and it always ends on Labor Day Monday.
Okay.
And BMIR is the radio station that is connected with the Burning Man organization, and our real purpose is to be there in case of emergency announcements, which happen. They do happen every year one way or another. Something happens. This last year, we got rained out and people were not, drive.
It was big in the news.
It was big in the news.
People could not get out.
Yeah, nope, they couldn't get out. But in actual fact, it turned out that it was probably one of the more authentic burns that I've been to since it's gotten so large, because people came together to help each other. And that, of course, wasn't so much in the news. Because it really is more about community than anything else.
Yeah, and that's what we're all about. Yeah. That's certainly WEFT. Yeah. And I'm fascinated at the different profiles you have. Now, do you do music on BMIR?
I do. I do radio. I do music. My shows are always at dawn because that's when I started. They didn't have anybody to do shows at that time. And it's my favorite time to do radio at Burning Man because it's quiet. And it's a wonderful way to like bring people in that have been out all night and help people get up that are trying to get up.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, so how did you get into radio in the first place?
Well, I have listened to radio since I was a teenager, and I lived north of San Francisco at that time, and there was a radio station called KMPX. That was one of the first FM radio stations that really kind of had a larger listening area. We could hear it where I lived, and I fell in love with it. They were playing Joan Baez and Bob Dylan and all the people that were, you know, I wanted to listen to at that time. And ever since then, I have been basically a radiophile. And I started with KMUD as a listener, and then as a volunteer, I would go help at events or whatever. And then there was an opening to work in the office for a few years. And during that time, someone that had a radio show was leaving and suggested that I should take their show, and I was terrified. I said, I don't know how to do that, you know? And they said, we don't care, you have really great taste in music, we'll teach you how to do that part.
And you have a good voice for radio.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
So, thanks. That I don't have any control over, but yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's how I got started, and I never would have seen myself as a radio programmer, DJ, anybody that was doing radio. But once I did it, I really enjoy doing it. It's really, my show on KMUD is called Music is Medicine. And the whole function, the whole purpose of why I do it is to give listeners a kind of a two-hour mental break, but give them music that reminds us that it's okay to be human and that we need each other.
That sounds good. I am going to have to listen and hear your playlist. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I got started, and that's how I'm still here. The spinoff from BMIR is The Shouting Fire, and that's an internet-only radio station that goes the rest of the year and pulls in from DJs from all over the world that have come to Burning Man and been DJs there. So it's pretty interesting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about KMUD.
Yeah.
Because that's got the real official profile.
Yeah.
I was quite impressed by the vision statement. Now, KMUD broadcasts under Redwood Community Radio, right? Can you describe the difference between those? Are they the one and the same?
Yes.
Okay.
KMUD is Redwood Community Radio.
Okay. Okay, well, the vision statement is Redwood Community Radio envisions a community of listeners who, guided by example of RCR programming, work together to create better, more just, and sustainable world systems to ensure that all human and other living species on Earth move toward higher quality of life and are able to survive the challenges in the times ahead. And that sounds to me like a pretty wonderful vision statement. Okay, and then getting a little more specific, the mission statement. Redwood Community Radio will encourage a communication center of open airways, which is KMUD, for all voices to inform, educate, entertain, and inspire the listening community through quality programming.
Right.
And that sounds about like what we believe we do at WEFT.
To inspire, educate, inform, and entertain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about the range of programming that KMUD does.
Well, KMUD has a wide range of programming. I would say probably 80 to 85% of everything we put over the air is locally programmed. And there's talk shows, there's interviews. We have different subjects. A lot of our shows broadcast once a month. And some of them go every week. Like my show goes every other week. So there's a lot of range as far as difference of that. But the talk shows in the evening are generally pretty interesting. And they are based about local topics for the most part. And sometimes they have other bigger international topics that get addressed. In our area, cannabis has been a big focal part of everyone's life. And there is no way to pretend that wasn't. It's been that way for 40 years.
And that was mostly economic?
Well, it was economic, but it actually has political flavors as far as independence, and there's a lot to it. But the economy absolutely was based. The cannabis industry supplemented almost everyone that lives in that area's income for very many years.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, of course, that was their primary source of income. But for the rest of us, there was always something to do to make just a little bit of extra money. And it also allowed the station to have more money coming in because people had more money. I mean, the mm-hmm. area was completely depressed before the cannabis industry began. And KMUD actually started so that people could hear, you know, stay in touch with what was going on. They would announce if law enforcement was coming to a certain area, then people would leave. Since it has become legal, Humboldt County has made it so expensive to get permits. There's so many rigid rules now if you want to grow legally that most people that have been growing can't do it because there's so much money involved to even do it above board. Between the state taxes, the county taxes, if you have a trim operation, people that come in and manicure your flowers before, you have to have handicapped access in its own bathroom, and people, it's really gotten to where it's way over the top.
It was such a shining possibility back in the early days,
yeah.
You know, tax money for the benefit of the community,
yeah.
And things like that.
And really everyone wished that it would be that way so that they wouldn't have to be under the illegal aspect of it for many years. And then when it became legal, it just went the other direction. So now it's really changed drastically.
Well, was logging the primary?
Logging and fishing were the primary,
okay.
and actually the fur trade, if you go back further.
Yeah.
Those were the primary. The whole region has always been very politically active, and when the logging, they were really just clear-cutting everything, and it was horrible. And so people got very, very active in protesting, and finally actually did get, I think his name was Hurwitz, Charles Hurwitz. He was like one of the big owners of one of the big lumber companies, and they finally got it so he couldn't operate anymore like that. There was a time period called Redwood Summer, and out of that came a movie called Who Bombed Judy Berry? And it's actually the story of Judy Berry and Daryl Cherney, who were very active in protesting of this, and they were coming to the Bay Area, and there had been a bomb planted in their car, and they tried to blame it, and it blew up. And they both survived, but the FBI tried to blame it that they did it, that they were bringing a bomb.
Whoa.
It's a very informative film about that region of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
It really kind of sets the stage for everything that's happened since then.
Yeah. So. Well, news is a very organized focus of KMUD. You have quite a staff that produces news.
We do. We have our own absolute news department that produces a half-hour local news every day. It gets rebroadcast again the next morning for those people that weren't able to hear it that night. Lauren has many stringers out in the area that are unpaid. I mean, it's very volunteer now. We used to have more people. I think we had two paid news people, but we've only had one now for quite a while, just because the income is dried up quite a bit.
But you have a full-time news person?
We do.
Wow.
Yes, we do. And she's really on it.
Yeah.
You know, she's really very good and produces news for the whole listening region, which is a very large region.
Mm-hmm.
It incorporates Mendocino, Trinity, Humboldt, and Lake County, parts of all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do local live broadcasts for like city council meetings and various other community meetings where people are getting together to discuss what's coming next on one project or another, or something they don't want or they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, and in this town, well, we're a twin city, which makes it very interesting because we have two city councils, two public libraries, two, you know, one county board, but covering all of that news, that is much more handled by commercial stations and by our public station, WILL,
uh-huh.
which is associated with the University of Illinois.
And see, where we are, there is really no other radio coverage
right.
of those things. So, and there's Fort Bragg, there's probably six different city councils, but we don't broadcast all of them all of the time. But if there's an issue that's really pertinent to what's going on, then those do get broadcast live.
Yeah. And you have a few little quirky things that are are part of your broadcast. What I particularly enjoyed on the website, the K-Mud Critter Corner for missing or found pets. Yes. So tell us about that.
Okay, so there we have a little form in the broadcasting studio, and it's going on for 20 years at least. If people have lost their pet, they call in, or if people have found a pet, they call in, and we read these over the air at a certain specific time every day to reconnect the lost person with the found pet or vice versa, right?
And this is really actively used.
It's actively used. Yeah. There's always something going on with that. There's always at least a few critters.
It's interesting. It has a much more small town feel than we are.
Well, it is much smaller. I mean, the town is, Redway and Garberville are very small towns. Mm-hmm. They're more in the size of St. Joseph in that area, you know.
Yeah. And you also offer classified ads.
Yes,
I found that interesting because that's a way of getting listenership.
Yes, it is. And actually, they're very active, too. People call in with what they want to buy or sell and put it over the air. And then people respond if they want it.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So it does. I mean, our function is to try to keep the community connected. It's a very big, spread out area. The town maybe has 4,000 people in it, but there's probably 20,000 people out in the hills in various, and not close together. You know, it's really big. Area.
So. Are you able to track your listenership?
Yes. Yes, we do. And we have, I think, upward of 10,000 listeners.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And, you know, we're struggling right now, like I say, because the income has really dried up. So people they don't have money. The stores are closing because there's no money. People can't spend money, you know, and all the disposable income has basically disappeared.
Yeah. Well, funding for WEFT is challenged as well. I mean, just priorities have changed. And community radio is not needed like it used to
be. Well, at least people don't think it is.
Good point. Yeah. I'm glad. I like your attitude.
Well, it's true because, I mean, we're there for the community. And there isn't really anything else there that's specifically for whatever community it's in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I know for us. It's true. And when there's anything that's going on, it comes through K-Mud so the community can be kept aware.
Yeah. Well, tell me about a few other favorite shows on K-Mud.
Oh, well, I love Women on Wednesday. It's a women's music, women's DJs, period, or programmers. That's on Wednesday. Two other music shows that are really my favorites, and one is the new release show. It's on every Friday afternoon. And Kim is probably the most wonderful programmer ever. And she really plays, you know, she really selects her new music. And then It's All About the Music is on Friday mornings, and it's very eclectic, but Mumser is more of the 40s and 50s kind of music, you know? It's I don't know. K-Mud has gone through, we do on Sunday mornings, there's every Sunday is different. The first Sunday is spiritual perspectives, right? The first Sunday is Christian, the second Sunday, I think, is pagan, and the third Sunday is something else, and so mm-hmm. on. And so there's different perspectives that get put out there for that. There's a World Beat show on Sunday afternoons that's dynamic, mm-hmm. really very good.
Mm-hmm. And, what about Public Affairs?
Public Affairs is every evening, either at 5 or 5:30. It's either half an hour or an hour show, depending.
Mm-hmm. And you use some syndicated shows,
We have like some syndicated. We have Democracy Now! And a few other syndicated shows. But I would say really 85% probably at least is locally programmed. And many of the syndicated shows are played like at 3 or 4 in the morning and not during the middle of the day.
Yeah. That's a wonderful profile. I mean, there are things about K-Mud that I would aspire to for WEFT.
K-Mud is wonderful, really. I can't sing its praises highly enough, really. And especially on the impact in my own life. It's just been really something that's made a huge difference in my life. I never would have thought that I would be a radio personality. Yeah. Never in my life.
And you are making a pointed effort to bring in young people.
Yes, we do. We have Youth in Radio is every Saturday. And Saturday afternoon there's a show, and there are certain people that are very actively involved with the local high school. And their kids really respond. But like I said earlier, many of those kids have grown up listening to K-Mud because it was really the only radio station. They appreciate it. It's interesting to see that, actually.
Well, bringing in the younger generations is, I think, one of the challenges of community radio.
I think so.
Because here, students are just so busy.
Yeah.
And radio is not their primary form of information anymore. Let's look a little bit more at Burning Man. Some of the most pressing needs are event announcements and weather updates.
Weather updates. A few years ago, this was, I guess, in 2019, I guess, it rained the day that the gates opened, and we couldn't open the gates, and we had to announce that Burning Man was closed, go back to Reno. That was hard. That was a tough one. But this last one, it was really important. We try to encourage people that are coming to Burning Man to bring a portable radio. It's the only way to get information, real information.
Does it stream?
It streams, but it goes over the air. It's broadcast in the city. You can hear it like 10 miles away. So the whole, Burning Man is huge. The area is gigantic. You can't really even imagine how big it is. It's huge.
Well, I'm trying to imagine the infrastructure.
Yeah.
To pull that together for a week.
It's major. When just for BMIR, I will just say, well, first of all, there's a DPW, Department of Public Works, that sets up for all the parts of the organization that needs power, needs electricity.
Do they produce that off generators?
Yes.
Okay.
But in order to do that, there has to be trenches dug and lines laid so that people can still drive and walk. And not
every year?
Every year. Everything is pulled up and laid down. People stay for a month to 6 weeks afterwards to make
sure.
Yeah, they sift the dirt because you can't leave anything or the BLM won't grant us a permit. So there can't be any little pieces of metal or bobby pins or anything like that.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's all completely done fresh every year and taken away every year. So it takes a few weeks to get it set up to go on.
When I looked this up, you tell me I'm wrong, but Wikipedia says that BMIR is an unlicensed community radio station, basically known as pirate, but that no one enforces that. The Federal Communications Commission, it does not comply with rules, but that is not enforced. But it's mentioned in the Bureau of Land Management's special use permit of federal lands as an event emergency broadcast alert system. But the BLM has no authority to permit its operation. So it operates in this little
gray zone.
Netherland. Yeah, but it's going strong. Now, what is your studio like?
It is a big container that has a couple of tables here with room for guests to sit, and then a table very similar to this with a soundboard and the equipment up here, and we also in that equipment that we have up, there's a running thing that tells us how long the wait is if you're coming into, because to come into Burning Man, when you leave the paved road, it's a mile or two to get to the actual gate, and then it's another mile or two to get to the greeter's gate, and then it's another mile to get into the city itself. So it takes a long time. So during ingress and egress, it can be a really long time that you're waiting. So we try to keep people informed of how long the wait is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Very useful information.
Yes. That's probably one of the main functions. But then when there is a weather event, we are the ones that let people know if there's a dust storm coming in, because they have very excellent weather people. I have to, hats off. They do it right. They know when the wind is coming and what time it's going to be here and how strong it's going to be. And if it's coming from a certain direction, it means there's going to be a huge dust storm. It'll be a big whiteout. And they try to tell people ahead of time to be prepared. I mean, when I first went to Burning Man, my son's the one that got me going. And he said, Mom, never leave your camp ever without a dust mask, goggles, something to light yourself up so people can see you, and water. You never leave your camp without that. And it was best advice ever.
Well, it is desert.
Yeah, it's
and I think that's hard to imagine if you haven't experienced
it. Yeah, it is, but it's not sand. It's dust.
Uh-huh.
And that's when people think it's sand, but it's dry. It's a dry alkaline lake bed. So it's this alkaline dust that gets kicked up when the whiteouts happen.
Yeah.
And by the time you leave Burning Man, everything is covered with dust, no matter what. You know, it takes years to get it out of your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you spend your time when you're at Burning Man?
Well, I've done a lot of different jobs at Burning Man. Started off as a cook for one of the power crews, and then I got involved with the Center Camp Cafe, which I was a barista and what they call a wrangler, which is to get people to come in and volunteer. And I ran back and forth to Reno for the camp, Center Camp Cafe Village, which is where the staff camps, right? So I've done that. Those were my first probably 10 years at Burning Man. I was doing that. And then I've worked in the mail department because Burning Man has its own.
It has mail.
It has a couple of different things. There's one set where it's just for the staff and the DPW get their packages delivered, and we bring it out to the playa. And Black Rock City has its own zip code for 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a real live zip code, yeah. So you can send and receive mail there.
Yeah.
The streets are, they're all numbered like time, like 9:15, 10, 10:15, 10:30. The ones that go this way and the ones that go this way are alphabetical. So say your address is at 530 and C. Well, 530 and C actually encompasses a big area.
Uh-huh.
And so it could be anywhere in that. So it's a challenge, I think, for them to find people to deliver mail to. But yeah.
Well, it's a fascinating thing to think about how you create a city overnight.
Yeah.
And I think it is admirable that a radio station is part of that.
Me too. It would do people good if everyone went to Burning Man at least once. Because some people, it really gets a lot of bad press for parties and for being, you know, over the top that way. But it's the most amazing thing. I say it's like the largest collection of creative intelligence anywhere on earth, honestly. And people do come from everywhere. There's camps from Syria, from Israel, you name it, from Iran. I met a whole bunch of people from Iran one year, and it's from South America. They come from everywhere. South Africa has its own, they have their own regional burn now. The Africa burn just happened this month.
Yeah.
Burning Man has really had an impact, a global impact. It does affect you. It impacts you, and it changes you. It stretches your limits.
Mm-hmm.
You have to grow, or you won't go back.
Well, I think we should do another show just on Burning Man.
Okay.
You've got, you know, it's something I've always kind of laughed at, but it sounds,
It isn't what you think it is. That's the thing. And there's no way to explain it. The best way I can explain it is what I just did, the largest collection of creative intelligence, because you can't, I mean, you spend most of the time like a five-year-old going, what is that? How did you do that? You know?
So I want to thank you very much in your visit to East Central Illinois to come into WEFT and
share. Well, my cousin lives here. I actually lived in Ogden once many, many, many years ago for a few months and over one winter and then left. And this was way back. No, it had to be early 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was probably 72, 73, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was when Earthworks, there was a whole thriving community going on here.
Well, I think you have an instinct for where to find what's really happening. So.
I don't know.
Well, thank you, Cindy Anna Jones. I'm honored to have you on Catch the Beat.
I'm honored to be here. I was really surprised when all this happened surprised. So, if anybody's ever out in Northern California, once you reach the town of Laytonville up Highway 101, you can tune into K-Mud from there all the way up to the border.
Okay. And of course, you can go to their website and stream and listen to your show.
And we actually love visitors stopping in at the station. Yeah, you can. We stream, and we keep all of our shows on archives. Our music shows are kept for 2 weeks. And that's because that's all there's cost involved.
Well, that's exactly what and it's copyright limitations.
Right.
Some music you can only hold. We save ours on Spinatron, but public affairs,
so do
we permanently archive.
Yeah.
And so this show will be permanently archived.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But our talk shows actually are archived for much longer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. I hope you've enjoyed this rebroadcast conversation with Cindy Anna Jones of K-Mud Radio in California, who's also an airshifter at the radio station that appears just during the Burning Man Festival each summer in Nevada. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring 3 floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.
WEFT, Champaign, Urbana, and East Central Illinois' community radio station since 1981. Broadcasting at 90.1 FM and streaming online at weft.org.